show you tell me is hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours on this 28th day of February, 2006. And on today's program, I'm going to pick up where I left off yesterday with Norman D. Livergood and the demonic cabal. This is important information. It comes from a perspective of history. And you thought there was nothing new under God's sun? Well, guess what? It's just a little different format. Same thing. Human nature is what it is. So we'll get into the rest of the demonic cabal coming up after this first break. And we've got a Network, the movie. You remember the movie? I think it was in... Let me see, 1976. Oh, that was our bicentennial. Network starring, we had Bill Holden in this, Faye Dunaway, Peter Finch, Robert Duvall. And it was directed by Sidney Lumet, and it was written by Patty Chayefsky, I think his pronunciation is. And it was released by MGM. Well, 30 years later, just today, they did the re-release on it, and I am surprised because this movie has probably more importance today than it had 3 decades ago on media, how it's controlled, manipulated. If you remember the movie, you might want to pick up a copy of this because it has commentary on this, which I have not been able to see. I downloaded the... Well, it was the media mogul who owned the network that Howard Beale, remember Howard Beale, was a network that he was on. He was the mad prophet of the airwaves, if you remember the movie. Well, I'm going to play the clip that Howard Beale gets the riot act read to him by the owner of this network. Very fascinating stuff, folks, and more poignant today than ever. But first, we'll get into the balance of the demonic cabal. Programming note, Stan Solomon is no longer on this network. He has moved over to the Genesis Communications Network. He will start his new program with them tomorrow, ironically in the same time slot. So if you're listening to this program right now, well, you have the opportunity to listen to Stan Solomon. For schedule and shortwave, I think he's got shortwave. You can go up to GCN Live and check out the schedule. If there's any Stan Solomon fans out there that listen to this show, well, then avail yourself. GCN Live, 4 to 6 p.m., and that's all the information that we have. But occupying that time slot starting next Monday will be none other than Robbie Noel. And that'll be from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Central Time. And we have other programs that are coming on board. And as the information comes available and we get closer to it, we'll let you know who they are and when you can hear them.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Norman Livergood says that he's chosen the word demonic because it seems most descriptive of the nature of this depraved coterie that has seized power illegitimately. They are certainly criminals that they commit outrages continually. Holocaust, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, assassination of JFK, Iran-Contra, gun running, drug smuggling, assault, the savings and loans felonies, the Vietnamese situation, Kosovo, Afghanistan, and Iraq wars, 9/11, etc., etc. But their misdeeds are more base than that. They are evil and wicked in the truest sense, and therefore are the best described as demonic. Now, picking up where I left off yesterday, and if you're listening today, and you're going, well, I hate jumping in the middle of something. I didn't hear it yesterday. Go to the archives. Go to the 27th of February, my program. And the last half hour of the program, I started this. Bad timing on my part, but folks, thank goodness for archiving. At any rate, continuing with Mr. Livergood's assessment here. And I could have brought Livergood on, but in order to get this information out in the way he put it out initially, I thought it best to do the reading myself. He goes on to say the term elite, then, is a neutral term referring to any small leadership group, whether its goals are positive or negative, relative to the larger collective it controls. He says human society is not homogeneous. It's made up of elements which differ more or less, not only according to the very obvious characteristics, such as sex, age, physical strength, health, etc., but also according to less observable but no less important characteristics such as intellectual qualities, morals, diligence, courage, etc. Just as one distinguishes the rich and poor in society, even though income increases gradually from the lowest to the highest, one can distinguish the elite in a society, the part which is aristocratic in the etymology sense, and a common part. The notion of this elite is dependent on the qualities which one seeks in it. There can be no aristocracy of saints, an aristocracy of brigands, an aristocracy of scholars, an aristocracy of thieves, etc. He goes on to talk about the indispensable Plato. Plato provides the best solution regarding the tensions between various factions in a society and how best to order a nation to benefit all citizens. A nation, Plato recognized, can no more be governed by the people than the ship at sea can be controlled by the crew or passengers. Leadership of a nation, of a ship or a nation state, requires special expertise that can only be gained by knowledge and experience. Those best able to direct the course of society, Plato maintained, are those who are trained in the search for wisdom, that being philosophy, and live their lives as guardians of the people. But instead of recognizing this insight as a guide for a nation-state throughout history, a small cabal of ignorant, self-deluded pretenders has seized political, economic, and social control, ignoring those who truly know how to order a society. Now, Plato recognized that a nation would have to be composed of extraordinary intelligent people to put philosopher leaders in charge of their public institutions. Nonetheless, Plato contended that only if persons seeking true wisdom, being the philosophers, that is, were the guardian society, would all people prosper. Suppose you now take this parable to the gentleman who is surprised at finding that philosophers have no honor in their cities. Explain it to him and try to convince him that their having honor would be far more extraordinary. Say to him that in deeming the best Voltaire's of philosophy to be useless to the rest of the world, he's right. But also tell them to attribute their uselessness to the fault of those who will not use them, and not to themselves. The pilot should not humbly beg the sailors to be commanded by him. That is not the order of nature. Neither are the wise to go to the doors of the rich. The ingenious author of this saying told a lie. But the truth is that when a man is ill, whether he be rich or poor, to the physician he must go, and he who wants to be governed, to him who is able to govern. Now the ruler who is good for anything ought to not beg his subjects to be ruled by him. Although the present governors of mankind are of a different stamp, they may be justly compared to the mutinous sailors, and the true helmsmen to those who are called by them good-for-nothings and stargazers. Now, as in Plato's day, so in ours, a destructive cabal has seized illegitimate power after passing itself off as a representative democracy. Plato defined disorder in this ordinary world of tyranny, the seizing of power by those who presume they possess expertise in all things. In modern terms, this has been clearly illustrated in the case of the demonic cabal, which assumes that it has the understanding of how Americans ought to order their lives, and therefore possesses the mandate to seize control of our society. Now, what this means in practice is that the unskilled and the unenlightened seize the rule of society to its detriment and final destruction. There is nothing more absurd than Leo Strauss, a Henry Kissinger, a Zbigniew Brzezinski, or a Paul Wolfowitz, mandarins of the demonic cabal, pontificating on how the world ought to run. The supposedly superior groups of foreign policy advisors, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, are farcical in a presumption of knowledge and understanding. Now, Livergood gets into the lessons from the American experience. The only time in history that a group similar to Plato's philosopher guardians was in control of the destiny of a nation was during the American Revolutionary period. Not only were many of the leaders of the struggle for independence intelligent, principled men, but a large number of ordinary citizens were as well. Many of these outstanding persons were direct products of the Enlightenment in general, and Plato's thought in particular. The common people were intelligent enough to understand that freedom meant freedom from oppression of colonial aristocracy, as well as freedom from British rule. One of their favorite slogans was, "Common people must be free from all foreign or domestic oligarchy." They thought in terms of liberation from all oppression, not just independence from Britain. Now, during colonial times, the common people were sometimes in control of their local governments. To control the Boston Town Meeting, urban workers, artisans, and country farmers formed an alliance in 1768. A group of Boston merchants complained at these meetings, the lowest mechanics discussed upon the most important points of government with the utmost freedom. The common people were not taking orders. They were speaking and acting for themselves. They were making it clear that their vision of a new society was not that of a wealthy merchant class. In Philadelphia, the working class was successful in gaining political power. In 1770, the mechanics held their first political meeting, specifically restricted to their own class. By 1772, the working class had organized their own political organization, the Patriotic Society, to promote their own candidates and agenda. By mid-1776, laborers, artisans, and small tradesmen had taken command in Philadelphia. The Pennsylvania Constitution was created primarily by farmers and artisans. As one historian describes it, the extent of popular control put forward by these common people exceeds that of any American government before or since. The Pennsylvania Constitution of 1776 ignored women, slaves, servants, and the poor, but it did challenge property rights. All free men who paid any public taxes whatsoever were entitled to the vote. This constitution of major importance in American history because it reveals that the working class had a clear vision of government and the intelligence and resourcefulness to gain use by political power. By contrast, the later federal constitution is clearly seen as an elitist document which empowered the wealthy class. The Pennsylvania Constitution was a high watermark of democratic ideals. One House Assembly, whose members were elected annually, was made the seat of almost all power. The Assembly was required to function in open public sessions and to keep full records. Legislation had to indicate its purpose clearly in the preamble, and except in emergencies had to be published and distributed publicly by the Assembly before it could be considered for enactment. But only by the next session of that body after another election had been held. The office of governor and its veto power were estimated in favor of a weak supreme executive council of 12 members, four of whom were elected each year for three-year terms. Judges were elected for seven-year terms, but were made removable for cause by the Assembly. A council of censors was to be elected every 7 years to review the government's performance and recommend a new constitutional convention if changes in its structure or powers were required. The extent of popular control involved in such a system exceeds that of any American government before or since. Indeed, opponents at the time referred to it as mob government. By the way, that was out of the book in 1986, Democracy at Risk by Kenneth M. Dolbear. We'll continue this on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned. Folks, it's history in the making. Yesterday is gone. That's history. Today, we're involved, and the results of our involvement will be reflected in tomorrow, will it not? We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
During the War for Independence, many of the colonial states changed the form of their state constitutions to reflect their democratic ideals. In most states, there was a movement toward subordinating the executive branch of government and conferring primary power on the legislature. In many states, the governor was elected, and in 10 states, his term of office was 1 year. In every state, there was an executive or a privy council, which the governor was required to consult on all important decisions. The purpose of such a council, usually appointed by the legislature, was to provide an important check on the governor. In every state, judges could be impeached by the lower branch of the legislature. In none of the states could the courts declare the acts of the legislature null and void. Now, the efforts of the working class to build widely popular governments similar to Pennsylvania's and other states failed by and large. In Massachusetts, for example, property qualifications for voting were increased rather than decreased. 90% of the population in Maryland was excluded from holding office because of property qualifications. However, the regulator movement in 1766 through 1771 organized against wealthy and corrupt officials in the colonial states and tried to get middle and lower class people elected to their assemblies. Dangerous delusions. After the wealthy merchant class had decided to declare its independence from Britain, it needed cannon fodder for its war of independence. Those upper classes to rule needed to make concessions to the middle class without damage to their own wealth or power at the expense of slaves, Indians, and poor whites. This bought loyalty, and to bind that loyalty with something more powerful than material advantage, the ruling group found in the 1760s and the 1770s a wonderfully useful device. That device was the language of liberty and equality, which could unite just enough whites to fight a revolution against England without ending either slavery or inequity. Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States, that was an excerpt from that. As in all wars in our national history, the working class answered the call to arms. However, the war exacerbated the growing class conflict when the working class soldiers experienced grievous inequities. The rich could buy their way out of the draft. Officers received much more pay than common soldiers. Common soldiers often received no pay. During the war, some common soldiers who had not been paid attacked the headquarters of the Continental Congress in Philadelphia, forcing the members to flee to Princeton across the river. After the war, the lack of pay to common soldiers was one of the major causes of the Shays' Rebellion. Civil strife due to class conflict continued throughout the war in Delaware, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. The working class was seeking what President Lincoln would later describe as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, a commonwealth, whereas the wealthy class was seeking a plutocracy. The American plutocracy degenerates into a cabal. A small group of wealthy people in America had always ruled the nation for its own benefit, not for the welfare of the people. The huge land holdings of the British Loyalists, for example, was one of the obscenities against which poor soldiers fought in the American War for Independence. But after the war, Lord Fairfax, a friend of George Washington, was allowed to retain his 5 million acres encompassing 21 counties in Virginia. The first American Revolution resulted only in change in rulers from the British elite to an American plutocracy. 69% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence had held colonial office under England. The devotion of the partially benevolent elite into the malignant cabal occurred when the wealthy merchant elite grew fearful of the working class's power and made sure that delegates to the First Continental Congress in Philadelphia in 1774 were all members of a select cabal. They cloaked their perfidy by saying that members were selected from the ablest and wealthiest men in America. John Jay, later to become the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was elected as president. His sentiment was a forecast of what the constitutional cabal would establish. The people who own the country ought to govern it. The American Revolution was supposed to be a result in the creation of a republican form of democracy, with the various branches of government providing countervailing powers. However, the leaders of the clandestine 1787 Constitutional Congress concocted a flawed constitution which made it possible for a plutocratic minority to seize all the reins of power. Patrick Henry refused to attend the Constitutional Convention, and genuinely democratic patriots such as George Mason, Luther Martin, John Francis Mercer, and Eldridge Gerry participated in the convention but refused to sign the new Constitution because it lacked a Bill of Rights, provided inadequate representation for the people, and did not provide for a viable separation of powers. George Mason said that the President and Senate, as set up by the Constitution, would easily form a combination that cannot be prevented by the representatives. The executive and legislative powers thus connected will destroy all balances. Thomas Jefferson was in France at the time of the Constitutional Congress, and he only realized later that the Federalist leaders had created a new form of tyranny by seizing all governmental powers. The reality became clear to Jefferson, Madison, and the Democratic Republican Party, and the American people in general, that the Republic was being taken over by a new cabal, the Federalist Party, and its tool, President John Adams. We'll continue this after this break, folks. I hope this is putting things in perspective. I've always said that the Constitution is not perfect, and it had some holes in it you could drive a Mack truck through. Well, we'll be discussing those here in a moment. Stay tuned.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
The worst fears of Patrick Henry, George Mason, and many other anti-federalists have been realized. The Constitution provided no viable means of making certain that the powers of government could not be appropriated by a single faction. In terms of providing for a government controlled by the consent of the governed, the Constitution proved to be a failure from its very beginning. The innovative elite, in his book Minority Report, H.L. Mencken, concluded, "The torch of civilization is carried by a small minority of restless and enterprising men. The members of this minority work in countless ways, and there is an immense variation in the nature and the value of their several activities. What they always aim at, whether by design or instinctively, is the improvement of human life on Earth. One of them may do more than devise a new and better rat trap, or a new way to make beans, or a new phrase, but some other, on some near tomorrow, may synthesize edible proteins or square the circle. Out of this class come not only all the men who enrich civilization, but also all those who safeguard it. They are the guardians of what it has gained in the past, as well as the begetters of all its gains today and will gain hereafter. Left to the great herd, it would deteriorate inevitably, as it has deteriorated in the past whenever the supply of impatient and original men has fallen off. This is the true secret of the rise and the fall of cultures. They rise so long as they produce a sufficiency of superior individuals, and that they begin to fall the moment the average man approximates their best. Because of the destruction that this current demonic cabal has wreaked on earth, some people reject any form of elitism as evil. However, as we saw earlier, human progress has always been largely the handiwork of a select few working against the grain of tradition. The true benefactors of humankind have always constituted a minority, bringing enlightenment and fulfillment to people by countering the demonic elements within their society. Whether we speak of Socrates inveighing against the baleful democratic Senate, Jesus contended with the noxious Jewish and Roman tyrants, or Galileo struggling against the corrupt Roman Catholic despots, human advancement has always been the gift of a few. The progress of civilization has largely been the work of creative and conscientious men and women, forgotten by history and derided by power brokers, and scholastics. Mankind's spiritual and physical evolution has been guided by seers such as Hermes, Plato, Jesus, Francis of Assisi, and Shakespeare. The Enlightenment did not penetrate the Muslim world except for small enclaves. The East and many parts of Europe, in those cultures, continued to suffer from tyrannical governments and religious intolerances. The most deadening effect of their repressive dogmas and practices was in destroying its few great innovators and thinkers, either by silencing them, driving them out of their societies, or making it impossible for them to develop their talents. In any nation where this occurs, decline is inevitable. Many of the Protestants and Jews persecuted by Spain and Portugal found refuge in England and the Netherlands, two countries which, despite their relatively small populations, achieved great innovations in thought and technology in the 16th and 17th centuries. Britain benefited most when Catholic tyrants in Europe persecuted enterprising Jews and Protestants, bringing these victims of suppression to what they considered the land of hope and glory. In Britain, they made profound contributions in the development of the British economy, the arts, and the Enlightenment, thought in general. This is the chief cause of England's being able to establish itself as the world's leading power. In the 18th century, British Enlightenment leaders helped create a new world in which America, providing the ideas and manpower to form a more perfect union. Now, superiority in intelligence, creativity, and leadership does not in any way ensure superiority in respect to morals or character, as we see clearly in the American experience. Persons such as Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, and John Adams, who helped bring about the American independence from Britain, were nonetheless willing to form a cabal to work against the interests of the common people. Now, even so, people such as Patrick Henry, George Mason, Luther Martin, John Francis Mercer, and Elbridge Gerry, clear products of the Enlightenment, helped America to achieve some degree of liberty and justice. Now, history has seen repeated instances when repressive institutions such as the Roman Catholic Church and the European and Asian tyrannies have destroyed the minds of their populations in an effort to create a more efficient and sure way to rule. Roger Bacon and Galileo were two of the great hopes of science. In condemning and imprisoning them, the Roman Catholic and civil authorities not only silenced these great scientific minds, but also suppressed whole generations of other potential geniuses who might have otherwise followed in Bacon's and Galileo's footsteps. Because of the ignorance of the so-called men of God and the pretended great leaders of nations, these societies remained scientific and cultural wastelands for an additional 200 years after the Enlightenment had transformed many parts of Europe and the New World. The scientific revolution remained the achievement of Protestants and other free thinkers. In the 20th and 21st centuries, we have seen such a return to mindless, destructive repressions of the human mind. The current demonic cabal was able to create its power bases, such as the American Federal Reserve System, with the help of the select elite of thinkers, such as Walter Lippmann, who were in part the outgrowth of the Enlightenment, This is similar to the experience during that time of the American Revolution when a beneficent aristocracy, as well as enlightened members of the general populace, brought about a new nation dedicated to the idea of government for the benefit of all citizens. The demonic cabal has so soundly destroyed their minds of this American population, including their own, that this is now beginning to catch up with them with a vengeance. We have only to compare the mind of the cabal mandarins such as Henry Kissinger or Paul Wolfowitz with the enlightened thinkers such as Patrick Henry. The policies of the demonic cabal are literally insane and suicidal. The Neanderthal reactionary leaders of neoconservatives push for world dominance, lack even the most basic kind of intelligence or morality. They are, as in the case of Karl Rove, diabolically crafty and Machiavellian. But they lack the elemental human qualities of compassion, justice, and benevolence. Such subhumans cannot remain in power for an extended period, for their avarice and corruption, or I should say avarice and corruption, eventually outrun their ability to understand reality. Now, overcoming the deadly myth of democracy. From the beginning of human history, as we've seen, nations have been ruled by small groups. Unscrupulous persons discovered that one of the easiest ways to rule a country was to make the people think that they, the people, were ruling, when in fact, small cabal was controlling all political and economic events for their own interest. Few such rulers have been forthright enough to admit that they were using the myth of democracy, rule of the people for the people, to institute and perpetrate an elite form of government. One such ruler who spoke in straightforward terms was William Penn. He lived 1644 to 1718. The English religious leader and the founder of the colony of Pennsylvania, in his book, Some Fruits of Solitude, written in 1693, he said that the way for the elite to rule was to let the people think they govern and they will be governed. One of the reasons why ignorant and ill-intentioned thinkers have attacked Plato is because he was forthright enough to reveal the reality of democracy, that it, in actuality, the manipulation of the masses by the elite who fools the common people into thinking they are ruling when they aren't. Plato said, when he wrote The Commonwealth, these will be some of the features of democracy. It will be, in all likelihood, an agreeable, lawless, party-colored society dealing with all alike on a footing of equality, whether they be really equal or not. Plato had seen this form of swindle practiced on the citizens of Athens and had seen the deadly results of such fraud when pseudo-democratic groups sentenced his teacher and friend Socrates to death on trumped-up charges. Plato understood that a society must have either of two basic forms of government. Oligarchy, a government in which a small elite group rules for its own benefit. Plutocracy, rule of those with wealth. Or tyranny, rule of the criminal cabal. A commonwealth, a government in which political and economic principles and practices occur to the benefit of all members of society. This form of government is ruled by some type of aristocracy, those with some kind of special knowledge and skill. Plato believed that a commonwealth should be ruled by those persons who were seekers of wisdom, that being the philosophers. One of Plato's major works was entitled, and I hope I don't butcher this, a Politia, or politeria, the Greek word for commonwealth. The title of this work has been mistranslated as The Republic, when it was actually titled The Commonwealth. Plato saw clearly that the swindle called democracy quickly degenerates into tyranny, as we have seen throughout American history. The current demonic cabal is simply the most recent embodiment of this swindle. You can see this most clearly both domestically and abroad. Within the United States, the cabal has stolen the 2000, 2002, and 2004 elections and has now set up permanent structures to make sure that fair elections are no longer possible. The Bush II puppet junta pretends that the client state, dictatorship it's set up in Afghanistan and Iraq are democracies. Now, Bush and other junta, I prefer to call it junta, some call it a junta or junta, members use the word democracy. Now, this is to fool the ignorant American masses, pretending that they are spreading this magic form of government to as many nations as possible. Democracy has now become the mask for tyranny and imperialism. As Howard Zinn has shown in A People's History of the United States, he says, the American system is the most ingenious system of control in world history. With a country so rich in natural resources, talent, and labor power, the system can afford to distribute just enough to just enough people to limit discontent to a troublesome minority. It is a country so powerful, so big, so pleasing to so many citizens that it can afford to give freedom of dissent to a small number who are not pleased. How wise to turn the fear and anger of the majority toward a class of criminals bred by economic inequity, faster than they can be put away, deflecting attention from huge thefts of national resources carried out within the law by men in executive offices. Winston Churchill said, the best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter. The saving remnant. We saw in earlier essays that through ordinary humans are rapidly losing the ability to understand reality. A small contemporary group in assessing supernormal knowledge through portals into higher consciousness, these are the true representatives of Plato's vision of philosopher leaders. They are making knowledge available about what is actually going on in the world beyond what the demonic cabal media lies, says it's going on. And of critical importance, they are preserving higher knowledge in books and websites, which will be available when conditions have degenerated to the point where a rudely awakened mass of people will suddenly say, how can we get out of this intolerable situation? What knowledge do we need to rebuild a sane and progressive world? These superhumans have undergone a spiritual transformation through initiation into a higher consciousness, and are harbingers of the evolutionary superhuman. Now, the foundation, I'm reading his words exactly here, folks. The foundation of this transformational knowledge lies with what is called the perennial tradition. These servants are now laying the foundation for a new culture which will follow the current dark ages brought by the demonic cabals. After humankind has degenerated during the dark ages, perennialist teachers made available to the West the teachings which spurred Renaissance literature and art, science, and the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment provided the impulse which brought about the American Revolution and its transformative documents. The Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. These and the additional embodiments of the perennial tradition, the Hermetic, Platonic, and Esoteric Christian, among others, have inspired humankind ever since and today give proof to people worldwide that a new world is being realized in an invisible way is overcoming the demonic cabal. That is one of the better pieces that I have seen. And I have heard people before talk about the Constitution and how that it was rigged. Well, folks, the plain fact of the matter is that the Federalists won. If it wasn't for Patrick Henry, the Bill of Rights would have been non-existent. These were the rights that were spelled out by government as a policy to follow. But it was not the government, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. It was not the government that created these rights. So who are they to attempt to take them away? These rights came from God. They didn't come from a senator. They didn't come from a congressman. They didn't come from a president. They didn't come from any man on the face of this planet. And until people realize this, then they will realize, how can a government take something away from me that it didn't give me in the first place? We need to think about that. There has been a great pulling away from biblical principle in this country. And I know 50% of this country could care if they burned all the Bibles of the world tomorrow. They see that as an inherent problem. But they don't have a full understanding of history, nor do they have a full understanding where morals and ethics came from. Some people will say that the Bible was done by people that just wanted to control politically, economically. And to a certain extent, this has been true, but only because of corrupt men. Think about this, folks. How can you argue with a being that creates this little dirt ball in the sky in a universe without end to make such a perfect machine as a human being without really giving us a way out? Kind of fascinating, isn't it? We'll take the break here, come back on the other side. We'll get into some other issues here, but we'll also take your calls at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You know, the thought occurred to me listening to this song, which was one of the videos that first popped up on MTV, 15, 16, 17 years ago? There's a verse to that song about the faggot that bought the jet airplane. Do you realize, folks, that in the near future here that I could be arrested and jailed for that? Oh, it's freedom of expression, but But you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't be hurtful. Well, let me ask you this. In the democracies that we're building over the Middle East right now, you're going to see McDonald's on one street corner and a XXX theater across the way. People in this country are just absolutely oblivious to the fact that, you know, the more that we introduce and normalize what we used to consider to be outrageous assaults on ethics or morality, people would claim that, oh, you're closed-minded and you just want to control and you just want to limit people. Well, really? Let me see. Who was the guy that was so in love with his horse he elected him to the Senate? Oh, well, that's right. He was one of the emperors in Rome. And they practiced many of the things that are being touted as being, well, normal and healthy alternatives. You know, those who forget history, ladies and gentlemen, are doomed to repeat it. And can't be truer than today. Where have all the better minds gone? Do we see any good minds in Washington, D.C.? I think not. Alan in Texas. Hello, Alan.
Every time I hear people talking about our God-given rights and that these were God-given rights, and I take a lot of fire for this, John, and I mean, I love you to death, but I'm probably going to take some fire again, if not from you, from a following caller or something. But I want you to help me out here, and you don't even have to answer this question, but if anybody else out there can help me out with this, I'd really like to hear the opinions. Now, these are our God-given rights, but they were obviously written down by men, you know, in that, you know, particular era, that particular social environment with all of their upbringing that they had. And of course, a lot of these guys were, I had a really simple view of history growing up in our defunct educational system. And what they taught me about history was, you know, basically that a lot of, you know, very ultra-conservative, you know, Quakers and just very, very refined and strict and disciplined and disciplining people, you know, established those early colonies and used their view of God and how they interpreted the Bible, I guess, how they felt that God would behave towards mankind. And so they wrote down the God-given rights. And of course, you know, in the Bible it doesn't say every man has a right to, you know, bear a firearm, or maybe there is something in there. I don't know. Maybe that's where this discussion, you know, will go. But have you ever thought about that or talked about that, John? Where are these God-given rights, where do they really come from?
Well, let me answer it this way, Alan. First of all, we'll have to take a break here, but let me plant a seed here before we go to break, and that is that if it's inviolate, and I'm getting a bad echo here, Mr. Producer. If we are to set up a society, then there's got to be a guidelines of which we can follow, one that would be fair and just. And these are the principles that were laid down in the Bible. And according to a lot of historians, that this is where this country was birthed from those principles. So how can you argue with the principles? Then that would be an argument how the government was originally set up. Plus, and of course, added those Ten Commandments. Oh, I'm sorry, the Bill of Rights. We'll be right back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.